what prompted you to start writing about people's real-life experiences with angels?
Well, you know, I guess you could say we were a family that always believed in angels, but they didn't have much prominence in our lives at all. And you're right, I was writing as the kids were growing up, kind of just as a second income so I could stay home with them. We had five, and, you know, you always need extra money with a larger family. And then one of my oldest sons graduated from college and took a job in the East. And that first Christmas, he was going to come home, you know, as a returning, conquering hero. Everyone that's ever sent a child off knows the feeling. You know, they come back driving their own car, wearing clothes that they bought for themselves. And so it's kind of a wonderful experience, except that as Christmas drew nearer, we here in Chicago started getting bad weather reports, and it wasn't just the usual cold and snow. It was dangerous sort of a thing. By the time Christmas was going to be here, so they said, we would be at 30, 35 degrees below zero. So Midwesterners were being warned, you know, don't go out and so forth. So with all of this, I called our son and asked him not to come, and of course he laughed off my objections. Oh, we fussy parents, you know. And so what happened was they took off the morning that they were supposed to, the morning of the 23rd, and they didn't get home. And that night I was so nervous. I was looking out the window, pacing, and I was asking God to send someone to help my son. Just send someone. I guess I thought of a Good Samaritan or someone who would bring him to a phone just so that we wouldn't be so frightened. Because at this point, it was dangerously cold outside, and there were curfews and everything going on. I found out later that the boys had stopped in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to drop off the third member of the group, and then they had taken off again instead of staying there until dawn. They were very late because of the wind and all the harsh driving conditions. And somehow or another, they lost their way and wound up in a field of frozen corn, and there's plenty of those fields in Indiana, and that is where their car died. Now they're sitting there, and the car is actually, you know, rolling back and forth because of this wind. There's no light in the distance, no place for them to run to. It was indeed 32 degrees below zero with a wind chill of about 90 below.
And that's brutal.
It is, and I think that they knew that they were probably going to freeze to death there. And they started to pray, which was a good sign because all of a sudden, right on their back bumper were headlights from a tow truck. The fellow got out. They hadn't seen him approach or anything. He was just there. And he kind of asked them, you know, do you need a tow? And they said, oh, yes. And they gave him the address of the place where they had dropped off their friend earlier. He hitched them up like you would pull a wagon, not with the nose of the car up in the air, but just kind of like a pull. And he took them back to town and all the way. It was about a 10-mile journey. And when they came back to the house, the family was still up. The lights were still on. The boys got out of the car, and they turned around to pay this fellow, and he wasn't there. The truck wasn't there. There were no tire tracks pulling away from where they stood. There was just nothing at all. Tim said, my son said, it was like the hand of God had just reached down into that cornfield and picked them up and deposited them here in safety. And when Tim got home, we discovered that the very moment that I was asking God to please send someone was the exact time when that tow truck arrived right behind him. So
fascinating story.
I was so stunned at all of this. I felt like Tim did that there had to be a normal explanation for this if we could just find the tow truck driver. Or, you know, I kind of thought, I guess, maybe he had had a difficult drive and just wasn't picking up all the clues. And I found later that when heaven touches someone, that is usually the reaction that we have, which is, no, this can't really be a miracle because who am I? Why would I get something like this? There must be a missing link here somewhere, and we try to kind of figure it out so that it makes sense in the world that we're living in. And after a while, we just kind of give up because it doesn't make sense. And that's when people are willing to talk to one another about it. And that's what happened to Tim. He finally told me what had happened. And being a writer, I thought, well, we're just going to find out if this has ever happened to anyone else. And it happened to so many people that I began to write books about it. That's how it all started.